Back on Downtown Election Day, Stevie Wonder's song for Richard Nixon 50 years ago. Time for Message in the Bottle right now, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Hello, Eric.
Oh, God, the funk is so deep, I can't get out.
I know. It's something else. That bass line will get you every time.
God, he's good. I didn't know that was about Richard Nixon.
Yeah, you haven't done nothing. It kind of says it all.
Well, happy Election Day, everyone. I hope you're happy no matter what's going on. You should be happy because you can participate in democracy, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Indeed.
God willing, you know, 4 years, be able to do the same thing. But everybody get out and vote if you have not. Please. And local elections are just as important as, you know, federal and all that sort of thing. So, and if you haven't done your homework, there's still time. The BDN, a bunch of League of Women Voters, all sorts of places where you can get some information on people locally. Because I get asked every year, it's like, Eric, who should I vote for? I'm like, who do you? I can tell you who I think you should vote for, but
so it's not just about suggesting a good wine or a fine cheese to compliment it, but voting tips.
Never. No, they know that I'm civically engaged, and so they think that I have a clue, and I do have a clue. But I, you know, I feel like it is hard. I mean, I get that. I get that. You know, frankly, especially with the barrage of national stuff, that you just exhausted. And I get it. I so get it. But grassroots local politics are just as important as national politics. I promise you.
So, Eric, which city council candidate would pair best with this Malbec?
Yeah, let's wait till tomorrow. I mean, what's the point of recommending one today?
Right.
We're gonna have three new ones. Yeah. But hey, and potentially a fourth in the future if Dan Trumbull wins his election. So you never know. But like I said, it's so important. So please do that. All right, to wine. We are heading south, South America. So we're going to kind of quickly do an overview, and then we're going to focus a little bit on Chile today. This is something that surprised me when I first found it out, and it continually surprises me. South America is second to Europe in wine production. It is not North America. It is not Australia. It is South America. They produce an awful lot of wine down there. And much of it is actually drunk there in the country of origin. So let's go back. There's an enormous amount of European immigrants all throughout South America. I'm sure that doesn't surprise anyone. Of course, we know the original European immigrants were harsh to the natives that they found there. But the fact of the matter is, you know, history carried on, and there are, you know, obviously just multifaceted immigrants there, and they did, in fact, bring grapes. They think, and we'll touch on this particular grape, but País, or sometimes called the Mission grape as well, they think that that was brought from the Canary Islands originally by the conquistadors coming over way back when. The first vinifera, they believe, was planted in the 1500s. As I said, most of the wine is consumed in the country of origin. And so bear in mind, there's a lot of countries down there that do not export, really. They don't have a very serious wine industry or a very serious export industry. Mostly the exports started with Chile, which we're going to talk about today, in the late 90s. And then 2000s. So it's not been a very long time that it's really been opened up. And then, of course, you know, Argentina, which we'll talk about next week, a little bit of Uruguay, but that's about it. So let's talk about Chile. Chile has an incredible breadth of land. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it runs up and down the western coast of South America. And, you know, to to try and encompass all of the terroir, the climates there, it's almost impossible. But what obviously defines it, and then we'll also define Argentina next week, is the Andes Mountains. The Andes Mountains are just this unbelievable, I mean, I'm sure you've seen pictures if you've not even been there. They are unbelievably breathtaking. They stretch like a spine all up and down the coast. And they, of course, play an enormous part in the microclimates up and down the coast. And out of those mountains run a lot of rivers, and indeed Chile's viticulture scene is heavily caught up in those valleys. That's really what you're looking at up and down the coast. In fact, it's kind of funny, as I was doing a little research for this, I opened up my favorite wine atlas, and of course, it is not, the picture is not shown north to south. It appears almost like it's east to west, but indeed it is north to south, just because there's so much to encompass. Let's see, where were we? Right, so much of the coast of Chile has both what we call a coastal range, which is a smaller range of hills and mountains closer to the coast, and then you have another like little sort of dip, and then of course the Andes stretch up. Unbelievably beautiful Mediterranean weather, fertile soils, extraordinarily ideal except for irrigation problems. actually, those have been really kind of solved ever since the Incas, who were incredible scientists in their own right, by creating waterways and canals that they take the runoff from the snows that fall up in the Andes and channel them to where they need to be. The other huge weather factor is called the Humboldt Current. It comes up out of the south and runs all the way up towards California, and it hits all the three zones of the Chilean coast. It moderates temperatures, lengthens ripening seasons, all the things you really want. The other thing it does is it dries beautifully, so you don't have between the soil itself and then the dry conditions, you have no phylloxera. So the phylloxera louse isn't a problem. You can plant on original rootstocks, which is always awesome. Certainly, it's characterized by extreme plantings, getting higher and higher up in the Andes Mountains, especially. Vigorous foreign investment, that has been a hallmark of Chilean winemaking, as is the new breed of winemakers that's trying to take advantage of the older grapes, like the Pais that I mentioned, as well as other grapes that are perhaps international. As I said, Pais thought to be brought from the Canary Islands. Kind of Pinot Noir in weight, but darker toned fruit. Some great, some, you know, they're just sort of starting to bring it into the international scene. And of course, there's a lot of Bordeaux clippings. There was tons of immigrants going back to the phylloxera louse, as well as other problems in Europe. So they brought a bunch of Bordeaux clippings, including the grape Carmenere, which really has sort of taken hold in Chile. But basically has fallen out of favor in Bordeaux. And that's sort of an interesting green pepper, dark-toned fruit thing as well. I am out of time, but as I said, next week we will talk about Argentina. And I will say that no matter what happens tonight, guys, we're all still neighbors. And let's never forget that. Because I enjoy being your neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? Etc.
Thank you so much, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. With Message in the Bottle. Hey, we'll see you next Tuesday.
It's a deal. Cheers.
Thanks much, Eric Meehan. Every week here on Downtown,